Good evening.
Good evening. I'm the first.
Okay.
Anna
has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We will begin. We're playing tonight or studying tonight from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, Parashat Vayera, section 22, 92.
I am the law.
And we'll start with
has joined.
Talking about a different location for the Garden of Eden? Are we talking, because I know I thought we talked about Hebron, you know, the Cave of Machpelah was also the Garden of Eden. And that was
It was the entrance to the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that the Garden of Eden is connected to the doorway. Doorway could be a long hall. Doorway could be a an elevator of transportation. So you just get whisked off to the Garden of Eden.
So it's a cave within a cave, right?
Yeah, it's called a double cave. That's correct.
Okay, so... I take that this is a description of a vast area somewhere in that
The Garden of Eden is somewhere, that's correct. But this is being called the Garden of Hashem, so it's changing the code words.
Garden of Hashem, okay.
And it's also indicating that the Garden of Eden does not need irrigation because it's already watered. And water is always Torah. Whenever you see it in the Zohar or even in the Torah itself, anything having to do with water is relating to Torah.
So what's the significance of Zohar? That it may be between the two?
Well, Zohar, the Dead Sea, and this is really, I'm guessing at this point because I'm not that familiar with the geography, but the Dead Sea is the southern part of the land, the current land of Israel. And if when Joshua crossed the Jordan to enter the land of Israel, he did so at the southeast corner, which was where Jericho was. And that's where the Dead Sea is relatively located there. So, and Zoar, it was a city that Lot said he wanted to go to. And here we're being told that the city or the location of Zoar is the entrance to the land of Israel, the land of Egypt. So when you come from Egypt, you enter to Zoar first, and then you would enter to Sodom before the destruction. That's what I'm thinking that's what the verse is implying.
Okay, so it has to do with something with the rivers and the streams and the water, Torah. Okay, guess we need to read more to... Because Hashem is the Garden of Hashem, which is on the southern side, which is the... Is that Kesek and Hakma? That, the Mercy?
The southern direction is Chesed, which would be related to Chokmah as well.
Right. So what is the code word here? Garden of Hashem? I mean, what was it trying to tell us? I mean, we thought of many different things that we just spoke of. Is there a deeper understanding of the Garden of Hashem?
Well, it's a code phrase that hasn't been defined, and this verse is essentially defining it. But it's a little concealed as to what the definition is. It's saying that the Garden of Eden and the Garden of Hashem is the same thing. That's the definition. But it's also saying that the Garden of Hashem is Egypt and Sodom, because they, in my opinion, both of them didn't need to be irrigated. And the essentially, it's saying the garden is that of Torah. the Torah is a garden. It's a garden of wisdom. But when we use the word garden, we think in terms of green growing plants. But wisdom can be a garden. Each piece of wisdom could be the flower or a plant. And that's this verse is asking us to be open to these different views, these different meanings.
I think what caught my attention is that the two negative aspects is Egypt, the narrow, straight, and then Sodom. It was destroyed because of the wickedness. So I guess that's what caught my attention. I'm like, okay. And I know great light comes from the deepest, the darkest places that I comprehend. But, we're speaking of two territories that one was destroyed, and so was Egypt to an extent of its wealth and its power, so to speak. So, and then we're talking about the Garden of Hashem with the Nile and the rivers that flow through there for irrigation. And I guess that's what I'm trying to understand, why those two places that have great negativity in them in that time frame.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm reminded of what we talked about a while back, about a week ago, that Malka was interested in, when I had made the notation of Gehinnom and the Garden of Eden were from the north. So that's like, we can't say that Gehinnom is all bad, because it's not. It's cleansing. But it, any more than...
I don't think we said that the Garden of Eden was north, but definitely Gehinnom we said was north.
No, it was both of them. It was from Jeremiah and from the Ari's writing. Because remember, I looked it up and gave y'all the handout.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I still have it on my sofa because I've been reading it often. Because I can't get out of Jeremiah for some reason, and I'm not too sure what I'm being sent to, and it's a busy time with getting my son into his home, so, and trying to cook.
So is this about the, and being the north, is this about, of course, Tohu, and also where the war possibly may be, and there is the 10 nations that are in Syria, as we spoke of.
Well, and don't we have the upper and the lower Garden of Eden?
Yes, but this is would be describing the lower garden.
Okay.
The actual issue is, let me read it again. The phrase, as the Garden of Hashem, which is the Garden of Eden, and which is full of abundance and pleasure for all, refers to Sodom and Egypt. Well, Sodom and Egypt, just like our material world, provides significant amounts of pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And the Garden of Eden includes both the spiritual pleasures and the physical pleasures. But when it comes to the physical pleasures, it draws you further away from Hashem. And that, I think, is what the code word Garden of Hashem is expressing. The garden is not Hashem. It's something outside of Hashem, something different than Hashem. And so the code word is really saying that you're being drawn away from Hashem, even though it's the Garden of Eden. It's all this positivity that we think of, but even that can draw you away from Hashem if it's oriented to physicality.
Okay, that's a better understanding. Okay, I can make those connections, okay?
Shall I go on?
I'm wondering if that phrase "and did not require irrigation" is because if your consciousness was toward spirituality in the garden, you know, we have freedom of choice, and if your freedom of choice is a positive thing, then your garden would be watered. You wouldn't have to have irrigation. I don't know if I see it, I just can't put it in better words than that. In other words, it would be your choice whether or not you received rain in that garden.
Mm-hmm.
And rain can come in two forms. It can come as a positive thing to aid growth, or it could come as a storm and mess up everything.
Mm-hmm.
The operative word in this pasuk is that the Garden of Hashem does not require irrigation. And the assumption is, and then it goes on to say, neither did Egypt, which was irrigated by the river Nile. So the whole idea of Egypt being irrigated by the river Nile, we've discussed, and the sages explain that they don't ever have to pray to Hashem, because the river is always there. And so the fact that it didn't require irrigation because the river is there is saying that there's no, you're further from Hashem because you don't need to connect to Hashem. The Hashem is, the Torah is there, but it's so overwhelming that you don't even know it's just too much to even perceive. I don't think we're going to have enough time to finish the next one. And I don't think we're really through with this one. We've fleshed it out, but we haven't really absorbed all that's there.
Right.
Well, the next one may help us. It usually does.
It usually
mm-hmm.
does.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read it and see. Let's see how far we get. We can always double it up next time.
Okay.
Tachatei makitiv v'chaya asher lo Yalemit Mishpechot Haaretz El Yerushalayim Vidgomer Dahu Onasha Tilchon Deitmeda Minchon Mitrama Yetiv Im Mishpachat Mitzrayim Lo Ta'ale V'lo B'va'a Vigomer Chamedila Ketiv V'lo Aleihem Yihye Hageshem Begin Dela Nachet Mitra L'mitrayim V'la Yitztarkan Le'ya Ela Onasha Dilchon Mahu Diktiv V'zot Tihye Hamagefa Asher Yigof Hashem et kol hagoyim v'gomer begin de mitzrayim la tzarikin limitra o sodom makativ v'yakifu la mishmashke kol yidunin v'alma ha'wova v'al Dalavan Ibne Nasharanim It Adnun Ba. Come and see. It is written, and whoever, whosoever does not come up of all the families of the earth to Jerusalem would be punished by having rain withheld. But if the family of Egypt does not go up and does not come to Jerusalem, it is not written that upon them shall be no rain, because it usually does not rain in Egypt, and the people there are in no need of it. So what is their punishment? It is as the verse continues, this shall be the plague with which Hashem will smite the nations. Since the Egyptians don't need rain, Sodom as well was well watered everywhere, which means that it had all the worldly pleasures and delights. Since they did not want any other person to share these delights or receive these pleasures there, the people did not receive any guests. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. The question is still not yet answered. Mm-hmm. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I guess Egypt and Sodom says we don't want Hashem. We don't need him. We are our own gods, basically. So we don't need any of his provisions, I guess. Because they had,
they had the pleasures,
right? They had the pleasures of the Garden of Eden, which is part of Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden is okay.
And it's also saying that the Rabbi Ashlag is explaining that because they didn't need to talk to God, but they had all these pleasures, they didn't want to share those pleasures, and that's why they refused to have guests.
Right.
Because they wanted to keep all of those pleasures to themselves.
Right. They didn't want to share. Okay.
We're out of time, so.
Okay.
And if you have any questions for later on at the 7 o'clock class, we will be answering questions. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.
Shalom.